What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. What's up? Happy Tuesday. Hope you had a wonderful start to your week. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Rookies report today for the Buffalo Bills. We've got some Sabres news.
Report. The things are happening.
Yeah.
Whatever those things are, good or bad, they are happening. And when I say bad, you might think, oh, Derek's trying to dunk on the Sabres again. No, it's the fact that I would like for there to be some sort of progress on this second rounders issue across the NFL, because the Bills are currently affected.
I mean, so is most of the NFL.
So is most of the NFL. Well, the Bills are part of most of the NFL.
Funny enough, all of the NFL is, because both Cleveland and Houston had 2 second-round picks.
The teams that traded away their second-round pick do not have a problem.
They're the only ones.
That was what, Atlanta on the aggressive move up with?
Believe so, yeah. With Cleveland.
And who traded up with the Rams? New York did.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants. In order to move up and get Jackson Dart.
Mm-hmm.
So there's at least two teams that don't have this problem. Or did they also have other? I need to look at who didn't have a second round pick.
it's most the NFL is affected. We both mentioned it yesterday. We were going to kind of talk about the Pablo Torre reports that have been going on for a few weeks now. It's now more or less just come to a head because a part of it has been the second-round pick talk. And really, up until Trey Harris did not report to LA's camp, I don't want to say there wasn't a story, but the feeling was maybe this won't be a thing. Maybe guys will eventually get signed. Well, now we're at kind of majority of the league will have rookies reporting today and tomorrow. Chargers have already had theirs report over the weekend. And 30 of the 32 second-round picks are still unsigned.
You know who the team that really hurts the most right now? The Bears.
Oh, how many second-round picks do they have?
Luther Burden.
Yep.
Ozzie Trapillo. Shamar Turner.
Oof. And I remember the Luther Burden thing because Ben Johnson brought him up about how important it is for a receiver to get in right away, get those reps going, the whole thing. I mean, I've brought it up with Shamar Stewart for Cincinnati, him being a first-round pick, but how important it would be for him to get in and get reps. He's not just for different reasons, but there's a lot of these guys who, I mean, burden is, I think, more of an injury. That's the one thing that hasn't scared me with TJ Sanders is up to this point, he has been participating. That has not been a report that he's just sitting out. That's due to him having the protections that have been going on with these rookies. You know, before they sign, you're okay. If you get hurt, you're going to be fine. Like, it's not going to kill you. But now we're kind of at the last stage here. Today is the last stage. I mean, if he doesn't report here, now we're in officially, it could be a hold in. He could be at camp the whole thing.
Right.
Or it could be a holdout where he's just not there at all. I don't think Trey Harris showed up, so that's a holdout for him. It's just, it's funny enough. It is a story, but it's not like a specific Bill story. It's a league-wide one.
It is a league-wide story. It's nothing personal at that point. Like, that's the part where, like, I'm not really worried about any of this, more or less, because it is an entire league-wide issue. But you look at some players, though, like, look at some of the second-rounders, for example,
mm-hmm.
and you think, wow. Like, I look at the story of Will Johnson, a top-10 pick projected heading into this draft. Even with the injury concerns, a lot of people still saw him as a first-round player, if not first half of the first round, right? That's mm-hmm. often where he was getting mocked to.
Mm-hmm.
He falls all the way to the middle of the second round. And now there's this whole contract thing of guaranteed money or not. And if I'm Will Johnson, I'm probably just like, man, I just want to play. I would love some guaranteed money, absolutely. Probably even a fully guaranteed contract based on what's going on, like with the knee and everything like that. But, man, to see a story continue to fall further down for someone whose the circumstances are not his fault in Will Johnson, and it's just like, that hurts to watch that sort of thing continuously happening right now. Like, you're just getting beat up on by life at the current moment.
I did see, too, Benjamin Albright, kind of an NFL all-around reporter, but mainly covers the Denver Broncos. I saw someone ask him last night.
But when, like, he talks, typically it's good to listen.
Yep, and he, you know, was asked by a listener, basically, was like, hey, is this whole guaranteed contract thing for second-round picks, is this more of an agent thing that's being pushed, or is this equal footing? And he goes, everybody wants this but the teams. Everybody has wanted this but the teams. And now that we've kind of crossed the Rubicon with Houston giving Jaden Higgins a fully guaranteed contract, the dam's been broken. It's now to see kind of how far, at least to me it feels, how far a team's going to be willing to go to not bring in their second-round pick. Because I think, honestly, you're going to have people within the organization getting annoyed very quickly.
Yes, like your executives, your general managers, and especially your coaches are going to get miffed fast when a high asset, let's not beat around the bush on this, a second-round pick is a high-quality draft asset. That is an early pick. It is still something that throws some weight around when it comes to a usable asset in the draft itself, especially early in the second round. Pick 33 is one of the most coveted picks that there is.
Mm-hmm.
You have a premium asset, premium draft asset, and the entire league is effectively crossing their arms and holding their breath like a five-year-old that you told, no, you can't get the Jolly Ranchers.
It's just, it's going to be so interesting to see what happens. Because it's not going to be outright coups or anything like that, but it's just, it's not an overly expensive asset.
That's the other part of it.
To really dig into. I think most of these guys will make around $11 million by the end of their four-year rookie deal.
And very, like, it's not a high percentage that second-rounders become star-type players. But it is not like second-rounders are players that will just, like, fizzle that frequently for you. There are plenty of them that don't see the end of a rookie contract, mm-hmm. for example, so fully guaranteed money, it would make less sense. I understand that part. But they're also second-round picks. That scale is going to be effectively pennies to the money that is brought in by the National Football League.
Well, here, I mean, look at James Cook's salary alone. Many of us have talked about this.
Speaking of,
for months now, talking about him of like, man, would you really want to hold out? He's going to make more money this year than any other year combined. He's set to make $5.2 million on his base salary this year. Before that, last year was $1.1 million, $970 grand, and $705 grand. Those were his base salaries as a mid-second round pick to late second round pick. Those were his base salaries. It's not like these are massive contracts. Now, they're a little more expensive at the beginning of the first round, late first round, or beginning of the second round, late first round. But these are not massive salaries that are going to sink an owner going, guys, I can't do this.
Yeah.
It is just to stay a little bit cheaper rather than fully guaranteeing deals. And many leagues do fully guaranteed contracts. And through the Pablo Torre reports, we also have that the NFL Players Association has pushed that in the last two contract negotiations, the bargaining agreements. They have not gotten them, mainly due to the fact that basically every owner is staunch against this. I would imagine there's partially a feeling of, well, you know, once it gets to second round picks, what's going to stop it getting to third round picks for and down the draft order, right? But they're one of the only leagues that doesn't have these fully guaranteed deals. Most of the contracts we do end up seeing in the NFL oftentimes end up being these very fake numbers. Garrett Wilson,
why these numbers are higher, though.
Mm-hmm. You see these big numbers, but Garrett Wilson yesterday gets, what, 4 years, $130 million. The more important number for him personally is the $90 million guaranteed.
Yes.
That's the more important number.
Because you're getting
And I look at teams like the Eagles. With Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie, Lurie being the owner, Howie Roseman being the GM, what has made them more impressive is that they front load the hell out of their contracts. They give money immediately so that they can sometimes pay a little less because ultimately they're paying their guy more. It's not hidden in bonuses and incentives to skate around not paying them outright. It is given up front. Here you go. And it'll be quote unquote a little, but it's the same argument we make with the Florida teams.
It serves two purposes, though. If you front load a contract like that, you get to the later years, that player is less expensive, and then therefore you can go out and get somebody and front load the contract.
Yeah,
it allows for there to be a little bit more of this roster churn that is very common in sports. So it serves two purposes on that front. Players get rewarded right away with it, so you're more prone to sign with a team that wants to front load a contract. Why? You're getting money in. And then say you're not good at the end of toward the end of the contract and you get released. Well, how much are you getting hit for that, really?
Mm-hmm.
Comparatively speaking to other teams around the league or other players around the league. And this is why the Pablo Torre story really seems to be getting a little louder now, because of the fact that you have 30 of 32 second-round picks, unsigned, and the issue is guaranteed money, which is the same thing that Torre was reporting about with Mike Florio. Effectively, in a sense, kind of giving you a little bit of that confirmation bias that, yeah, the owners, of course, they work together on these sorts of things of like, yeah, we want to try to keep guaranteed money down because that's money out of our pockets. You don't become a rich person by handing it all out all the time. You do it by being stingy. But, well, that and, you know, generational wealth, yada, yada, yada.
It helps.
That's a topic for not this show. But the other part of this is, why in the world would you want that story to go public? Of course. As owners, that makes sense. It's the NFLPA that was the baffling part with the Pablo Torre story.
Mm-hmm.
That effectively, J.C. Tretter and members of the NFLPA really goofed themselves up and allowed this to happen. Most people would probably tell you if they had to be asked about their group chats being made public. Like, even just amongst friends of people that do nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They go, God, no. Don't look at the group chat. It's just, like, people goofing off all the time. But for NFL owners in group chats.
Yeah.
Or texts to each other. To have those. It's public record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, it's a confirmation bias at this point, though. We all know that this is something that they probably do, and it makes sense for them to do it because it's business. But you got Mike Bidwell and Dean Spanos texting each other, hey, congratulations on signing Murray. Thanks, Dino! That alone should be a reason not to have that released.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it doesn't look good, like, but if I'm Dean Spanos, doesn't surprise
being called
anybody.
Dino.
Yeah, like, not great.
And it's spelled out D-E-A-N-O. Like, yeah, like, no, that can we not let that be public? But
it doesn't surprise anybody, though.
No.
Like, I think most people would tell you that, yeah, of course, the owners don't want the fully guaranteed contracts. They don't want to do it. Everyone knew when the Deshaun Watson contract was signed. You had the ugly feeling of, like, he's getting that after all of this.
After
that came
all
out?
Of this and not playing for a year, you're giving him a guaranteed contract. These are the types of things that cause a lockout.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL, it didn't happen. But now we're getting more aggressive. Because now more guaranteed money after you've already made the pledge to each other to try to hand out less because Andrew Berry and Jimmy Haslam were out of their minds and broke the system.
Yeah.
And that makes sense on the business front because only one other player had fully guaranteed contracts, and that was Kirk Cousins, which he's had two of those. Good for him, by the way.
Hall of Fame material.
His agent is top tier.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame money bag.
I say put Kirk in the Hall of Fame just for that
Hall
alone.
Of Fame bag secure right there.
You Kirk literally Cousins. Don't have to put like a helmet up there with him, just a bag of money, and just be like, you guys know why he's here. You guys know why we brought him.
It's a miniature Brinks truck.
Yeah, we'll talk some of his stats, but really we're going to talk about the contract negotiations. And
realistically, they should put the bust of him with the big chain on.
That's exactly what it should be. It's exactly what it should be.
Kirko chains.
And that's it. Call it a day after that.
Yes, but it's just like, why after that situation did Cleveland give that contract out? And it's almost as if the Browns divided by zero, broke the whole thing to a point where the owners had to all turn around and go, we don't do that. No. And then they could point to that contract and go, this is why we don't do it.
Well, and that's literally what they're doing is it's a guy that gets injured. He wasn't very good. Now look what happened.
Now it's the worst contract in NFL's history.
And it is, that's the thing. We can all look at it and objectively go, it's the worst one you could have.
Yeah, it's the worst contract in pro sports history.
From a business side of things, yeah.
From a business side, from an entertainment side, like none of it was good. And it goes back to Lamar Jackson, too. Jackson is franchise tagged by the Ravens, and Steve Bisciotti mentions publicly, it's too bad Cleveland gave him all that guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
Would have rather not had them do that. And kind of like gives away the game on accident. And then you see what happened with that season, that offseason with Lamar Jackson, where now it all makes sense.
It was weird. Most of that offseason, before he does eventually sign his new deal with Baltimore, it felt like every team was going out of their way to make sure you knew they weren't actually interested in going after Lamar Jackson.
Like, the Atlanta Falcons went with Desmond Ridder, who you should never start, not even once. And and tried to make sure to say, no, we're good on Lamar Jackson. Even though we were actively in talks about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, Lamar. Apparently, we were all in on Watson. Now, not so much.
As a matter of fact, we were the ones left at the altar, reportedly, for Cleveland.
And you know, looking back.
But we're good on Lamar Jackson.
But looking
Don't
back
worry.
Now, and Torre and Florio do bring it up, too. It's like, it's surprising that people didn't jump on this earlier. And it is. I mean, that's completely fair. I think it did take something like this where every team is somewhat affected for people to be like, what the hell's going on here?
And now I'm glad that this is getting more noise because it should. And here's the thing. No, I don't feel bad for the owners in the slightest. They're not the ones putting their body out there and subjecting themselves to major injury. They're not the entertainment dollar. They're not. They're not the product.
Most of us actually don't even want to hear the owner speak. And that's going for every owner.
You're not the entertainment product. I'm not going to feel bad for you.
Yeah.
So, like, I love Jeremy and Joe with the let's get stupid idea of just, like, the Bills announcing, yeah, we've signed TJ Sanders to a fully guaranteed contract and breaking the system.
I'd be all for it.
I'm all for having the other owners be mad at you because what are you going to do about it, really?
Well,
because,
remember, it was the same
because
thing.
The Buffalo Bills being good is good for business and your wallet right now. So the Bills would want to just do that. Executives and coaches, I already mentioned it. They are off-the-handle types of mad right now.
You know who would do this?
Jerry.
The Vegas Golden Knights. If they were in the NFL.
Yes. The Vegas Golden Knights absolutely would be the ones to be like, no.
They'd be like, why would I care? It's the same with offer sheets that we talk about in the NHL. Who cares if they're mad? I'm trying to win.
Yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? And so, like, a part of me, like, yeah, if and you can make up in your head what actually happens, because that could be a route. If the Bills were to sign T.J. Sanders to a fully
guaranteed. Sabres have an internal
guaranteed
cap anyway. You could sign Sanders to right a fully guaranteed contract.
But let's say the Bills did it. You can build up
obviously
a
joke
that the Bills decided, we're not playing games. We want everyone to camp. We have no issues. Let's go forward. I think the Bills also could do it purely off of, we're going to be on Hard Knocks. Whether we like it or not, we will be the face of this second round pick no one signed.
Oh, jeez.
We're
going to
be the face
right
of that. So I think it is actually an honest evaluation of where the Bills could go.
It is good business for the Bills to break the chain.
Yes, and to just not even be a conversation outside of, the Bills made sure to get all their rookies in.
And
that's it.
And even then, that becomes a positive story, flying in the face of the league with the standoff. And then you can use that in Hard Knocks of, like, the Bills are just trying to win. That's the message.
Because right now, the message is not that. The message will be to start camp. Cook might be there, but a second-round pick who will play probably, I think hopefully, a pivotal role in a revamped defensive line is holding out.
Especially
and part of
an
era of holdouts that is not a thing, but the NFL owners, arguably, he will be portrayed as very greedy. That they're not just giving fully guaranteed contracts. Contracts, by the way, that are ultimately not very expensive. The whole point of rookies is that you get good, cheap labor in sports. It's for every sport. The rookie contracts are the best. You want to hit on those rookie picks, on those young picks, so that for 3-4 years, you've got them on the cheap, and they're giving you great production. I can see it now on the first episode of Hard Knocks. The Bills don't have many storylines. That's the worst part for this.
Yes.
If the Bills at least had any other storylines,
this is easily the biggest
story. You could somewhat push it off to the side. But Cook even showed up to mandatory minicamp. So they don't even have that going in. Now, he could ultimately hold in after like 3 days and be like, no, I got in a cured year. I'm done. But for right now, their biggest storyline will be their second round pick, who they traded up to go get. They have not signed yet.
And it's the fact that it's not personal. It is not a player versus team issue. It is a league versus union issue. And again, I'm glad that the Torrey story is getting more legs now because of this, because it's very clear and evident. Like, and nobody's hiding it. That's the other part of it. Like, nobody's being gaslit at this point. Nobody's being lied to, so to say, of like, why are 30 players unsigned? We know why.
Yeah.
We know why, and the owners aren't going to speak out and say, like, no, that's totally not what this is, or even try to confirm it with us.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know. But the thing is that they're not denying it, and that's fine by me in a sense. Like, it's just don't gaslight people.
I think it also could help really the next team that really goes forward with this. You're not the first team to do it. Houston did it and Cleveland did it with the first and second overall picks of the second round.
You're not even the team that they're going to quote-unquote blame right now.
If you want to in your owners' meetings next offseason, go, hey, this is Nick Caserio's fault. I needed to get my guy in. Coaches were getting upset. My GM was upset. We had to move forward. We were in the middle of a Super Bowl window. I'm sorry. And move on. You weren't even the first one. Jaden Higgins and Carson Swechinger were signed back-to-back days. They were the first two overall picks of the second round.
Yeah,
I think it's the thing. It would be much harder, I think, to convince an owner who obviously doesn't want to do this. They've been pushing against this for years now to be the first one to do it. Now that that's done, just get your guys in and start moving forward. I mean, that's it. Just start moving forward. And also on this too, Houston and Cleveland, we mentioned it. They have other second round picks that are not signed. Cleveland's dealing with some other issues with Judkins getting arrested, the whole thing, and that's a story that will transpire throughout camp. We'll see how that ends up going. But for Houston, who have their young quarterback, they're doing their whole thing. They're trying to revamp their offensive line. Well, hey, the only offensive lineman you were able to pick is a second-round pick that you have not signed yet, and he's not getting reps with the starting offensive line, who I would imagine you would hope would start with them. And the offensive line is all about chemistry.
As a matter of fact, they traded out of the first round because the offensive lineman did not fall the way that they wanted on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that is what's happened, it is a little funny that it's a self-inflicted wound right now.
I mean, it is, yeah.
But if you're going to do it for one, why not the other?
Mm-hmm.
like for a team and an organization, that's an entirely different subject than the entire league. I look at that as an agent and go, you did it for the guy that you took earlier in the same round.
Yeah.
Why not us? It's less money.
Higgins, by the way, his contract is 4 years, $11.7 million.
Yeah, come on.
Like, it's not a ton of money.
It's not a ton of money, but I do think that there is something to why are we paying guaranteed money to a player that has not played a down yet?
Mm-hmm.
Fully guaranteed contracts, because I'm pretty sure even the first rounders do not have fully guaranteed contracts either. So that could turn things more interesting next year. If they continue on this path, and if the rookies, like if the agents and the rookies hold so firm here that the teams cave first, next year's negotiations with rookies gets very...
First round picks do generally have fully guaranteed contracts. They have gotten to that point, yes.
All right. And honestly, like I said, it's a high-end asset though.
Mm-hmm.
But there still might be like, you know, a late first rounder that doesn't have a fully guaranteed contract, for example. Well, guess what you're getting now?
Yeah.
It's a system breaker, and that's how a new CBA gets drawn up. These are the disagreements where lockouts start. If they stay firm. And I'll bet you that they're not going to last this long. Not for 30 of them. There's too many. So there's going to be a player that caves first, and it starts the wave.
Yeah, and today is kind of the first day where a lot of teams start to report, including the Bills. We'll keep you posted on all of that as things come around this morning. 803-0550, the number two call if you want to join the show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. Listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hang with you here on a Tuesday. You're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back, ready to tee it up for free every Friday. We're giving away a foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways, Seneca Hickory Stick Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club, plus a box of Encore Golf Balls, a $25 Encore gift card. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin. Derek, we got more uniform stuff.
Yes, but it's not the stuff that I'm looking for.
No, it's not still.
But
it's
that said, still. Even though I'm not looking for this, I'm happy to see it.
Without saying who the team is, I have been at the head
clean
of the cult that wants them to be their full-time. Ignore the fact that you were garbage as an organization when you wore these. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers creamsicle jerseys are perfection.
Bring it all back home. And we've seen a lot of this in pro sports teams where they are kind of like figuring out, yeah, this was our best look. We're just going to bring it back. Often in hockey, we've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like you see it with the Penguins, the Oilers.
Carolina still wears the Hartford
ones. Even the Sabres. Like it was also the, can we get rid of all the Navy that we had in the early 2000 or the 2010s, please? Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're welcome. Navy is a terrible color. Fight me. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they tease you with it. A couple games of the creamsicle jerseys throughout the years as of recent.
Mm-hmm.
And the 76 jersey for their home debut, all whites.
Oh, man.
With the orange accents is perfection.
It has, I think, become my favorite jersey in the NFL. That's obviously not a Bills jersey. I'm all for the Bills all whites. I think everyone knows that. I think that's the best look in the NFL. But in terms of just throwbacks, look, I love the powder blues of the Chargers. I'm glad they really went back to them. And like you mentioned, the Navies, when you had like the dark blue and the gold that they used to have and stuff like
so
that.
Bad.
They've gone away from that.
Oversaturation of a bad jersey color.
And they went back to powder blue. Love that look. I have been, from almost day one that I knew these jerseys existed, have been such a fan of them. I love the look. I don't really care that you got the winking pirate. I think that adds a little bit of character to the team. I don't need it to be tough. Like I think it adds something fun to the team. This is still entertainment, and it's different from the Raiders. Like that was the fun thing. It was they were on an opposite coast and they were different from the Raiders, and that was really cool. I love these. You mentioned it's their home opener too. It sucks that their first two games, by the way, are on the road at Atlanta, at Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 o'clock game against the Jets. You throw these babies on there. I mean, that's going to be peak. It's going to be beautiful. And they score a ton of points. Like, I think that's the thing, too. You reintroduce these uniforms either for two reasons. We're really good, and we know a bunch of people are going to rebuy these jerseys with a bunch of these great players' names on it. Or two, we are so bad, we desperately need something for people to get excited about. We've seen both of those now, I think, this offseason. We've seen now Tampa doing this for their home opener. Tampa's been really good the last few years. They're one of the better well-run organizations in the whole sport. Not perfect, but very well-run. And then you have the Saints. We're going to be dreadful this year, guys. Our potential starting quarterback in Tyler Shuck not signed his contract yet because he's a second-round pick. But you know what we're going to do? All white jerseys, all white pants. We're going to throw in a white helmet, too. It's going to look incredible.
Yes, we're gonna make it look
clean. I think we've seen both of the why are we introducing these really cool unis. It's either we're so good, everyone's going to rebuy these, and it's going to be awesome because we're really good, or it's so bad, we need anything.
I'm starting to respect like the whiteout style jerseys more.
I love them.
In sports.
I love them.
But I think in certain sports, it looks better than others.
Agreed. Very much
agreed. Football,
absolutely.
Hockey, when you give the white gloves and the white pants, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
To where, like, I don't know, man. Maybe you don't need to do that.
The Sabres tried it. I think we all like the concept because we do like the all-white look in football. It didn't work for hockey. Basketball, well,
they didn't. They had the blue helmets standing out on top of it.
That's right. They did. That's right.
Yeah. It just, no.
See, I still don't like the jersey, though, on the white ice surface. It just didn't look good. With this being on grass, it looks great.
Yeah,
College does this as well. Colorado has started to do it with now Deion Sanders there, where they've got the gold numbers, but then the all-white look.
Right.
It looks very good.
In football,
very
it looks
good.
Clean.
Mm-hmm.
In hockey, it has to be well executed.
Yeah. And then baseball, basketball kind of...
Don't need to worry about it.
It's such a good look. I think have fun with it. Remember, you're still an entertainment product. And I know a lot. That's why a lot of Bills fans have been pushing, like, when is our thing coming?
Yes.
Like it's because it's part of one of the aspects of why you would do this. You're really good. People do want to see these players in maybe the red helmets or an alternate look, what have you, because they're so cool. You've seen some of these different jerseys. I know way too many people that have bought the red jerseys for their players purely because it's different and it's the alternate one. And I don't know many people that actually ultimately like the red jerseys.
Right.
They just kind of like that it's different.
And, you know, the Bills do have a chance to do the funniest thing ever about that. Josh Allen, oftentimes in the return to the red and blue.
That's become iconic now.
It's become iconic where he will come out with a different colored helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Have the whole offense join him and make your announcement that this is what it's going to be, for example.
I think that is something they should do because Allen has very much taken it kind of
by the
horns. It's a bit, but most people now like really look forward to it. That is a storyline for people.
And now you make like the whole offense go out there with him like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And so far, it's been in these 3 years. He's done the red helmet, a blue helmet, and then last year was a black helmet with the red standing buffalo on it. I mean, he's been able to do different ones, and it has now become a big storyline for that return to the blue and red practice at the stadium. For me personally with the uniforms, I don't want them to wait till next year for the stadium. I don't think you have to pack everything into next year.
No, and I do think that it would be fitting to have the red helmets there for the last time you're going to be in Highmark Stadium, for example, because you did play in that stadium with them for a good amount of time, including one of your most successful...
Yeah, really up until now, maybe your most successful period.
Period of the Buffalo Bills' existence.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even... Like, it's fair to argue that, no, that is still the most successful period of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And you see other teams do it. And granted, the Bills, I don't think there's anything wrong with their uniforms at all, though. So if they never do it, I'm okay.
No, I've seen some rumblings, like people want them to bring back the red helmets for... No. And really, I'm only changing the uniforms again for the Bills, and it's a very specific circumstance. They've got to be bad for a while again.
It's got to be a couple... Honestly, if it's a couple days, it's fine. I don't need the red helmets back forever.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be nice? Sure. You know, the Bills have quite frankly, too good of a uniform combination to let red helmets fail.
Yeah.
It's simple. Effective. Brilliant. It's not like they're the Titans with like this weird arena football look. And then you change the color of the helmets and it's like, wait, how'd that make it look worse? But if they don't bring it back at all, yeah. Am I a little disappointed? Maybe. But am I going to be up in arms about it at this point? No, because they've kind of ignored that request for so long now that I'm kind of numb to it. That said, I really want to know what the rivalry looks are going to be for all of these teams.
Because this thing, we at least know that is going to happen this year.
Yes.
That's for me. I still think that is going to be full 90s looks for both teams. Whoever the Bills are playing, I think it'll absolutely be a Dolphins game. I think maybe they've announced
Cali it. Cali bringing up Navy as a possibility still made me like see blood. Like, oh, I want red helmets? No, I was seeing red that day.
Mm-hmm.
But because like, I don't think it's going to happen, but there's also a non-zero chance, right? Like your deepest, darkest fears.
Yeah. Has the opponent that they're going to play with the rivalry jerseys been announced?
No.
I thought it was going to. I haven't seen it.
We've heard nothing about the rivalries series yet of what these uniforms are going to look like. I've heard nothing.
I fully believe that is going to be like the full 90s look. You'll be able to get a Josh Allen jersey in the 90s Bills jersey because it's a little bit different. And I think it's going to be against the Dolphins. I think also, especially, you may want to get on that rivalry while it's still here, because I think that one's ending pretty soon in terms of just both being good, both battling for the division. I think that's about over. And after this year, I could really see Miami going into a full tailspin rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even say that necessarily as a negative. Start over if it's not working. I'm not against that. But I think they're going to want to have to kind of get there soon with that, because if they don't, oof. And ultimately, it's going to be tough to do the rivalry jerseys. The Bills, when they were the biggest rivals for the Patriots, was when the Patriots were dominant and it wasn't really a rivalry. It was just we all hated the Patriots.
Right.
The Bills-Jets has never really had that kind of same vitriol hatred. It's Bills-Dolphins. That's the AFC East rivalry.
Yes.
And then New York-Boston teams, Patriots-Jets.
Yes, always. There's always a fun little rivalry there. But yeah, that's actually pretty interesting that you come up with that.
I think you got to jump on it now because I just don't see it lasting much longer. So jump on it now rather than, I mean, would you do essentially two red jerseys for the Patriots and Bills? No. Jets, Bills, again, that does not have the same gravitas at all as the other two. And Patriots, again, is more just hatred built through getting your teeth kicked in for 20 years. Dolphins, there's a legit, we had that period, but then we had the competitive period where we beat them a lot. Now we're in the period now where Dolphins arguably are good, but they just can't get past the Bills.
And it's where it's that frustrating, like you keep reaching and you just don't get there.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, like Miami, there was an entire decade where the Bills didn't beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're kind of looking at what's going on now with these two teams. And it's like, there's a really big stretch though of the Bills just cramping up at the end of one game.
Yeah.
From having a double digit win streak against Miami. It is that's probably the best matchup, I think, to have a rivalries uniform would be Bills-Miami. Because the two teams do have that vitriol toward them, and the rivalry is relatively even still in terms of win totals.
Mm-hmm.
New England, thanks to almost two decades worth of dominance, that number is very skewed. Though the Patriots are an up-and-coming team, seen a little bit more in a positive light than Miami right now.
Right now, yeah.
And you're right. The Jets, though that could be sometimes the most fun uniform game, think the color rush, the colorblind game.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just it's funny. Like, in a four-team division, you think, like, everyone would have, like, their special rivalry. I can think of a few divisions, though, that, like, there's just that one matchup where
you're
like,
there.
Eh. Yeah, it's the one matchup where it's just like, okay, I mean, it's a division matchup. It's important. I don't feel any strong, you know, feelings towards
it. But it's neither of the North divisions because you kept everything from the Central divisions.
Mm-hmm. AFC South is kind of just
even
a hodgepodge.
The AFC East
together.
Did a good job. Mm-hmm. Like, Indy was the team that left. But, like, the NFC South, you still have Falcons Saints.
That's the big one.
That's the team. Those are the teams that they hate each other. Hatred. But then if I'm a Falcons,
I wish those teams were good again, because that was, from what I've discovered just the last few years, there is a genuine, honest to God hatred for each other.
Yes, they like those two teams. It is big brother, little brother, and you are fighting with each other all the time.
I think you know why it hasn't gotten that much leg room, like in terms of the entire NFL, the countrywide. Outside of a few years, both teams have kind of been bad forever.
And they would take turns being bad.
Being bad. Like, it became really one of the, you know, a perfect example? It was the Egg Bowl, like, for the last 20 years up until recently for Ole Miss. It was 5-6 Ole Miss versus 5-6 Mississippi State. Who's getting bowl eligibility, baby? Yep. It's Virginia Tech, Virginia now. Like, it's who's getting bowl eligibility with this win?
Yeah, like, you guys are currently here.
Yeah.
And you're right. Every division does seem to have a little bit of that. And it's good on Seattle for when they were good that they took advantage of some hatred to, like, them and the 49ers. It's a different thing now. But for the longest time, the Seahawks used to be an AFC team.
Mm-hmm.
Historically.
Yes, only recently they've been able to kind of come into their
recently
own rivalry.
Recently they've got their hatred with the 49ers. But, like, the Cardinals,
they're very much forgotten. Yeah.
They're there.
Doesn't help either. They've been bad forever. You know, they have their blips where they're good, but for the most part, they're a very forgotten franchise.
Yep.
But yeah, I think for the rivals, unless it has been announced, I have not seen it. I think it's got to be Bills Miami, and I think they'd be foolish not to go with just full 90s looks. Here we go, maybe a little bit updated and not be a complete carbon copy. I think that'd be the way to go. I think that'd be perfect.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in here. Don't forget the Buffalo Bills and Sabres Foundations will be hosting Give 716 Day, raising as much money for local charities as possible, beginning at 7:16 p.m. tonight and running through midnight on Wednesday, July 16th. Over 500 charities will be participating, and all fans are encouraged to make a donation of any amount to their favorite charity or charities. Go to give716.org between 7:16 p.m. tonight and midnight on Wednesday, July 16th. Derek Kramer and Zach Jones wrapping up the first hour, coming up next after the break here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Cal Raleigh won the Home Run Derby last night. He is having a monster year for the Seattle
Big
Mariners.
Dumper.
The Big Dumper.
Big Dumper.
38 home runs. He is behind only Barry Bonds in terms of home runs hit before the All-Star break. Bonds hit 39 one year. Has hit 38.
Was it that year?
It may be that year. I assume it'd be that year. He's also doing this as a catcher, which many will know he is not going to play every game. I find maybe the most impressive stat, he has not been a bad power hitter. Most of his career, he had 34 home runs last year. But again, the fact that he's already surpassed his total from last year at the All-Star break is simply incredible. Simply incredible.
That's a sick year at that point. It already is.
My only fear now, and he won the Home Run Derby, great for him. I love it for him, too. He's playing out in Seattle, especially the East Coast markets. They're going to kind of just see the stats. They're not going to necessarily see him play a lot. That's a fact of the matter. We've talked about it
with
Mike Trout for years. You know, the Angels aren't on, you know, Baseball in America tonight or anything like that. Like, you're not going to necessarily see him. So it was nice for him. My only fear now is because he did take part in the Home Run Derby, please let that old, you know, saying of you ruin your swing at the Home Run Derby, please don't let that be true.
Yeah.
Please don't let that be true. He has been an unbelievable player this year. We talked a lot about Aaron Judge's year as well. He's still continuing to have an incredible year for the AL. But this home run race, or this not home run race, but MVP race between the two is going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, he hit, in the last 3 years, 27 home runs, 30 home runs, 34 home runs. He has not been a bad power hitter by any means.
And the thing
is, just having his best year ever now.
He's having his best year ever, and he's already surpassed it at the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And Seattle's very much in the mix on the wild card, and that's going to help his standing in an MVP race, for example. If you're a playoff team, you're probably going to make your case a little bit more because, like, Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge.
And
but the Yankees also have the Yankees roster.
And Mike Trout and Ohtani kind of got to that point. But there was always that uncomfortableness of, like, yeah, they're the best players in baseball, but the team sucks.
Yes. And that's obviously not the case there with Aaron Judge. And like Seattle's a decent team.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, it's often their proclivity for choking at the end of seasons, why yes. they would often miss the playoffs. I would like to say, I hope that Cal Riley is able to keep this up and win AL MVP, mostly because I get Yankee fatigue.
I will tell you, don't hold your breath on him winning the MVP.
No, I know.
Judge still leads most of baseball.
He is still
in most hitting categories.
He's on an otherworldly type tear.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Like the fact that Riley is making this a race in his own right is already a great enough season for him.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, yeah. Like the most impressive part is, yes, he is doing this as a catcher. That is the most impressive part.
We have at least someone that could be like in the same room right now, considering what Judge was doing to start the year especially.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. Hour number two coming up after a quick timeout. You listen to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
We think one of the Shaggers may have just stolen a home run. Vlad Jr. is pointing out.
Oh, we got to get replay review
left
on that.
Oh, someone's going to have to escort that kid out of the park. No freaking way. No way.
Oh, no way! What are you doing?
Look at the kid on the bottom. Like,
Andre Jones in left center field.
Oh, no.
Oh, his life has changed.
Oh, buddy.
You got one job.
Not that.
No, your job is that.
I don't know who the female announcer there was. I didn't watch much of the Home Run Derby. I just saw the highlights. I did see this last night. What's he doing? Making a name for himself. His life just changed. Hell yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did for the better.
You do have one job out there. It's to catch baseballs. He caught a baseball over the wall.
They count the home run. It's fine.
They shouldn't have.
But because they did, no harm, no foul. It's an awesome catch that kid should get hyped up for that. Like, what are you doing? Making a play. That's what I'm doing. What are you doing?
I mean, it's kind of like watching Jazz Chisholm. I know, like, he was at the Home Run Derby last night. He was horrendous. Like, if you're hitting it that shallow where I can catch it, I'm making a play, baby. I'm making a play.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I got to do.
I'm robbing the home run.
Good for him.
Because this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing for you.
Yeah.
You're out there catching home run balls.
I'm putting that on my college tape.
You're catching a home run derby ball. You're out there having the time of your life, and you're like, I have a chance to make a play. I'm going to go do it.
Yep.
And you know what's going to happen is every single person that kid knows watching that, coolest person in town now today.
It is just hysterical that, like, in an actual game, you're going to get, you know, the batter tipping the helmet to him again.
Yeah.
And in this, where it's like, again, like, we're seeing O'Neal Cruz fire off 500-foot home runs, 475. This one's at the wall. I'm going to make a play. It's still going to count. And that's the thing. If it didn't count, we're having a different conversation. Because then it's like, all right, you're making it about yourself. No, this is not good.
If it didn't count, you probably have instructions to not make that play. It does count. Have fun with it.
Yeah, have fun. It's awesome.
Why do we watch sports? Why? To have fun. To create moments to talk about. That kid understood the assignment and he nailed it.
Good for him.
Nailed
for him.
It.
Also, Cal Raleigh didn't mention this in the last segment. He is the first catcher to win the Home Run Derby. So, again, his great season kind of continues
for him.
Some of the news from last night, you may have missed it. The Sabres do avoid arbitration with defenseman Bo Byram. They signed him to a 2-year contract with an average annual value of $6.25 million. I think there were some hopes, Derek, that last night this may have been a trade and sign. Or sign and trade, excuse me. We're a number of hours since the signing. I think we can kind of safely say that probably won't be happening. And you had mentioned this a lot in the last few weeks, kind of as free agency wrapped up and the Sabres roster very much was taking form. You were somebody that wasn't kind of staring daggers into the St. Louis Blues roster sheet. You were doing it, but you were much more along the lines of, I think this is probably it.
Boy. Yeah, Josh, I have an assignment for you. Whatever we come back with after this break, I need you to play ska music so I can have a better day. Because I'm about to talk about the Buffalo Sabres. I said it, and two things. One, how dare I try to have fun this offseason? How dare I dream? Like, you fool of a Took.
I mean, the Marner thing was probably a bit much, but the rest of it I could get behind.
But that's the face to the ideal. At least the Bills took care of that business of, like, the ideal. Hey, really cool defensive end. Maybe Miles Garrett, maybe not. But you add someone that's a recognizable name. And he has production. And he's good. The Buffalo Sabres, I dare to dream of literally just add anyone that people recognize. No. Derek, you silly goose. Sit down. How dare I try to have fun with this? How dare I look at the St. Louis Blues roster and think, maybe they can get Jake Neighbors. Maybe they can pay up, throw a couple prospects in there and get Dylan Holloway. Maybe they do something fun for a change. Fool of a Took. And I said it, and I know that it's still like a non-zero chance that something can happen with Byram. But the minute that a trade didn't happen before July 1st, they're done with the roster. This is the day one roster. Be ready, because you're getting Jack Quinn in your top six. Probably Zach Benson or Jason Zucker on the other part of it. Or you're hoping that Isaac Rosane can translate his successful season in the AHL immediately to the NHL. And as Zucker said earlier last year, hope is a blank strategy. A bleep strategy, so to say. Is Byram the player perfectly fine? Yes. As a matter of fact, I think you got a good deal on it. 6.5 for 2 years. It's a good cap hit on that player. If he's logging first line minutes and playing next to Rasmus Dahlin, he's going to look fine. He's going to look good playing next to Dahlin, which means it's going to be worth it. So you got a good AAV on the player. You have a very good defensive core, it looks like. Theoretically. But if Kesserling can't translate to more minutes and playing next to Owen Power, or if Matias Samuelsson continues to be Matias Samuelsson, you're still going to have problems on defense. And I'm going to tell, I'm saying this right now, on July 15th of 2025, if this defense or the goaltending does not take a step forward this year and you make no changes because of it, fraudulence of an executive group.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If the defense and the goaltending doesn't take a step forward, you are likely a worse team than you were last year.
Which also means
just on paper, you probably are.
But that also means the things that you actually tried to change also still didn't work, which means there's something systemic within your coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they never changed a single one of them. Outside of the head coach, and they were theorizing it was all Granato and his primary assistant. That's it. So we're going to bring in Lindy, and we're bringing over Seth Appert from down the road. What about the other guys? What? They're fine. If nothing changes for the better on the back end or in the goals allowed column, that also means that you had a terrible extension with a goaltender that had a one-year wonder.
Mm-hmm. Which has somewhat become a problem for the Sabres as well when they do sign their young guys to bigger deals.
Fork these contracts over too quickly.
And that is a shame too, because if it goes well for them, it's great business. Because you got them before they really popped off.
Because
if you miss, it's a real miss.
Because it worked the first time.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's Tage Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best value
contracts in the NHL.
It worked the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to work all these other times, right?
That's the thing, is if it works, it's wonderful business. If it fails, and this is true of every sports league. This is not just specifically for the Sabres or even just hockey. But if you miss, it is a real miss that makes you look like a really poorly run organization. Again, in any sport, with any team.
And it's not that you've missed. It's that you've missed twice really badly and potentially now a third time.
Yep.
Cousins is already gone. Samuelsson,
you had people really pushing for the idea of even buying him out, let alone just trading him.
And that contract's still 2030.
Mm-hmm.
It's movable, because if Cousins is movable, so is that.
Yeah.
For example. But you didn't have a lot of games played before that contract got signed. And now you're looking at Luukkonen. If it's a one-year wonder and Lukanen's getting paid 4.75 till 2029 and has a partial no-move clause kick in after this year, I'll tell you, if he plays poorly this year, I'd imagine something is going to happen. But also, where are you moving him at 4.75?
Yeah.
Where are you moving him? The no move becomes the least of your concerns. What team wants him at that contract? Now you got to work around that for a backup goaltender.
Yeah, it's not good.
You've actually hamstrung yourself if this doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work.
But that's what I mean. Like, if it works, it's great business. If not, it's horrendous.
And you are in the last year of your extension as the general manager. It becomes awfully easy to just leave you at the gate after the contract expires.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Not the only Sabres news on the docket. A little under an hour ago, they did also announce that they have officially signed defenseman Roddy Mirka to his three-year entry-level contract, though likely he is either going to be back in Seattle or in the AHL. So he's not, that was kind of the thing when he was drafted. He is not immediately going to be coming up to the Buffalo Sabres. He is not immediate help for the team. Again, not too surprising. That is the NHL draft. He didn't pick, you know, top two.
And if he does not play professionally this year, the contract does not kick in. So if he's still with Seattle,
yep,
the ELC does not kick in until he plays professionally. The D-Core is good enough where, like, for example, he's not going to get his nine games for this year to get a look. Unless he really wows at camp.
Or a full-on disaster in terms of injuries where it's like, ugh, we got to.
They have enough depth.
Yeah,
they have Bryson, they have Jones, they have Johnson.
So it really would just be, he would have to blow them away. A Zach Benson-like camp where you're still going to Seattle, but what was that?
Right. They need
was able to just come right up.
He would have to win the job.
Mm-hmm.
Is effectively, like, he'd have to win himself a spot somewhere.
Yeah.
Immediately. Like, the Connor Timmins trade, for example, like, totally backfires on you. And Radim Mirka, the right-handed shot defense, has a stellar camp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, we have to look at this guy, right?
Yeah.
Have to. He would have to shine that brightly in order for that to be the case. But everything that I see about this about the management style of Kevin Adams is that it's always reactive, except for when it's not. Those extensions, he tries to be proactive about it, and he tries to go and get his guys, recognize his core, and say, these are my guys. That is being proactive. Power, getting $8.35 million per year right now. He's yet to live up to that, and I know that there's still time. Tage, they get that deal done. They pick out Cousins and Samuelson. And Lukanen. So there are times where he's trying to be proactive. But even with the deal with Lukanen, that's still reactive. Which is a lot of what... That is also what management is sometimes, is being reactive. Let's not go ahead and say that this is something that's like a character flaw exclusively to Adams. But oftentimes it does look like you're not proactive enough. You're not having the foresight enough. Everything does look like it's just reactive for him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I want to bring up the extensions, because there are times where he is proactive. But there's never a roster move made with foresight. Save for one. McLeod.
It's a trade I kind of, I don't say live off of, that's not right, but it's just, it's the one where you look at, and we've mentioned it too, like you see the trade worked. He traded arguably a depreciating asset before it had really become that in Savoy, and gets a player McLeod that was ascending. When he got more ice time, he does not look like the player he was in Edmonton. He looks even better. He looks like a player that Edmonton absolutely should have been keeping and should have been giving more ice time to.
And they could have used him in the Stanley Cup final, where he was also effective against Florida. Why? Because he's got the speed, the wheels to keep up with McDavid. It's a rare quality to have in the National Hockey League, is to have that kind of speed. So there are times where he is proactive. I want to make sure I say that before I harp on the parts where it looks like he is reactive to a fault. But that's also sometimes being a general manager.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's when he has been proactive, it has bit him harshly with two, now maybe three contract extensions that might have looked like unfortunately, a bad thing. There is one thing, and only one thing, that I could talk about positively when it comes to the good feelings potentially that you could have about a Sabre season this year. When you look at the overall offseason, and you see that the subtractions that were made, you lose a top six forward, but you were still one of the better scoring teams 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
You add to a defense that has struggled, and you do take care of one of the things that you wanted to, which was get someone to play next to Owen Power. That was one of the big check marks that was needed from the offseason. That only happens, though, because JJ wants out.
Yeah.
Say Paterka's fine. Do they do nothing? Maybe the Timmons trade still happens?
The Timmons trade probably still happens.
But then what?
No, I think that's a really good thing that you bring up is were they really going to, for the most part...
If Paterka didn't force his hand, which, and you didn't get Kesselring back...
Yeah, all reports point to that relationship soured quickly and he asked out. It's hard for me to believe that, but also they didn't do much anyways.
That's the thing.
It's hard for me to believe it, but you're right, yeah.
Was he doing nothing anyways? And it's tough. Because now at this point, any move that he makes is going to be met with criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the moves that don't get made. It's a balancing act that you have to try to be fair about. Getting people to come to the Sabres is a hard thing. There is a point there. They are in the midst of a 14-year playoffless drought. With almost no sunlight peeking through. You make the subtractions, you make the additions. Are they Michael Kesselring away from making the playoffs? This roster?
Yeah, I think most of us agreed even at the time, no.
Are they Alex Lyon and Kesselring from the playoffs?
Nope.
No. You still needed more. And you still have a group of players that play in Rochester that are worth something.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Roseanne had a very good year last year in Rochester. Yuri Kulik.
Yuri Kulik has ascended. He's a top line projection right now on the Sabres.
Yeah, and I don't want to put words in your mouth either, but you seem pretty comfortable with the idea that he'll be center number one.
He is going to be the one seed. I think he surpasses Norris already. Availability helps. But the other thing that you're looking at here is, what is it that you can look at? And the only theory I can come up with is teams randomly make the playoffs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Montreal and Ottawa last year.
Yeah, and we mentioned it in different sports of football. The Bills broke their drought in a very... Really, that's the year you did it kind of year?
Exactly. A roster that you were like, okay, that's when you did it? And the Sabres roster is not awful. As a matter of fact, where they finished last year is not comparable to the talent that they have. But this looks like an 85-point roster. That's not good enough. Again. And if J.J. Paterka did not force his hand, what does your offseason even look like? Is this operation run it back again?
Man, that's, you know, funny enough, that's even more bleak. People would still have, Sabres fans, a lot of them, really love Paterka. I was one of them. Wanted to see him grow more as a complete player, but what you still had was fun and awesome and exciting.
I mentioned routinely that if I wanted to have JJ traded, it is to get an upgrade at the forward position.
But, man, the vibes already are not great for what they did.
Correct.
If all of a sudden the vibes were, oh, it's literally the same team outside of a small, pretty good trade during draft weekend, and you pick up Alex Lyon, that might actually be a tougher sell.
Yes.
Because I think right now you can at least go, the defense is better.
You say the defense is better, and it's a fact. It is a fact.
How much better? Not sure. You're going to find out when games are played. We'll see if guys have Kesselring, if he's given more ice time, if it's a hit. If he's another Ryan McLeod-esque move for Adams.
But it's still fact.
But it's still something. I think if you went into this offseason and where we're sitting today, and you, as you mentioned, JJ Paterka didn't ask out, or that move just doesn't even happen, I think it's an even harder sell. Because so many people, even with everything going on, wanted so desperately... Just show me that you're desperate, that you're also desperate, that you're here to make moves, make a splash, do something. And then for that to equal running back 2-3.0,
right,
outside of one move that they kind of regularly make in the offseason, one, maybe two moves, I think that would be a tougher sell. I really, really do. Even with keeping Paterka and making a small move there and picking up a goaltender like Alex.
And oddly enough,
I think it'd be a harder sell.
Oddly enough. Say JJ wants an extension,
mm-hmm,
and he wants to stay here, right?
Yeah.
There's 7. What is it here?
There's $7.3 million at the cap.
Mm-hmm.
There's suddenly a cap team running it back.
Yeah, and it's not like you're in a situation where Florida, we keep making the playoffs, we keep making cup runs. Of course they're just going to bring back our entire group. It would be...
You'd be a cap team for a team that had a bottom five finish.
Yeah, and yeah, man. When you put it like that, it's just... I can't believe I'm going to say this. You're almost thankful of how the offseason went if you had those two options. If you had those two options, you probably take the one we're at now. Because the other one, you're like you mentioned, like you're a bottom five finish. You're kind of around where you always are.
You do have to make them,
and you signed everyone back.
You probably do make a move to create cap. It's probably where Samuelson comes in again.
Right, maybe.
Maybe, but then again, the general manager felt bad for the fans about the misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Not about the fact that you're keeping a player that has, at this point, earned a good amount of the scorn from the fan base. If there's a player that wears a lot of the scorn, it's Samuelson at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Help him start over for his sake.
They don't know necessarily where his career goes, but he has entered that stratosphere. I think Dylan Cousins entered it last year, too, of just, man, maybe a different city, a different environment is going to be great for you.
Because you're currently wearing what this team's problems are. And Jack Quinn gets a two-year bridge deal,
mm-hmm.
but it's double the market value that it looked like he was going to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just all in all, a very strange offseason, but I think we kind of got there by the end.
And
it maybe even could have been worse.
And last year, compared to this year, the player you purge just so happened to make the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, that's usually how that goes. 803-0550, the number to call. Rookies do report today across the NFL. Not completely. A number of teams, though, getting involved in that, including the Buffalo Bills. I have a little bit of fun after talking to the Sabres, having some fun there. Jumping through some of the rookies that we're excited to see this year, not just on the Bills. A lot of guys like Ashton Gentry.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
the quarterback play as well. We'll do that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Nightcap. You're listening to the Extra Point Show on WGR.
It's a good bit. Something that we got to pick up, learn, if we want to be ready, wanting to play. The playbook is the number one thing we got to learn. So just taking that, same thing, one day at a time, and make sure we studying, the right amount of time, outside of the building, and make sure we're sharp.
Buffalo Bills second round pick TJ Sanders, that's most likely from a rookie minicamp. That is fair, though. Learning the playbook is probably the most important part, especially during this.
Correct.
The off season, especially you get that rookie run where your season ends and you're right to the draft prep and you're changing your body for the combine because you want to put up the best scores, and then you get drafted. Then, well, you go right to minicamp. And then, really the last 4 or 5 weeks was probably when TJ, along with the rest of the Bills rookies and really the rookies around the NFL, got to kind of decompress a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not much because then you're still cramming. He also doesn't have a contract yet, so there's probably a little bit of stress there. I'd imagine he wants some security of what's going forward, especially, too, the last definitely 5+ years, we haven't had rookie hold-ins or holdouts. That hasn't been a thing. Mm-hmm. And so he's also kind of in a new territory. I think agents are sort of in a new territory with this, too, of okay, are we really going to do this?
Right.
I guess we're doing this. And so for me, we mentioned in the first hour, that's something too. Now that there's at least been two teams that have given fully guaranteed deals to second round picks, funny enough, the two teams that also have 2 second round picks.
But not the team that had three.
No, not the team that had three. No, they just have three guys that they're waiting to give fully guaranteed deals to.
Oh, God.
I think is probably where we're going to head. Because I do think there's just going to be a run here of teams that their coaches or even the owner just goes, enough with the, let's just get this done. Get our guys on the field. We're striving for bigger and better things.
Especially for a new coach like Ben Johnson, he wants his guys.
I think it would just be a really bad look by you specifically bringing up Bears ownership. You made the big move for the coach, and now this is essentially how it's going to be in his first offseason. Is hey, by the way, we're going to be kind of tight with money for these guys. It's a really bad for the big fish. Coming in, you sort of wanted to put your best foot forward with them. That's not a great look.
In the same offseason where a book is coming out and Seth Wickersham had reported something about how Caleb Williams and his family looked at the Bears and were terrified of them. You want to put your best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if all three of those players have a lengthy holdout, for example, fairly or unfairly, what does that paint the Bears' ownership and management?
Right.
Oh, so Caleb Williams' dad was right.
Oh, man. Yeah,
there's an interesting pitfall there.
Yeah, there's a few teams that we kind of can't have...
We can't have this nonsense.
...a ton of bad rep. I brought up with the Bills where you...
Bills with hard knocks.
You'd arguably, right or wrong, kind of become the face of it because you're the team that's getting the documentary about it and you're also one of the teams that didn't sign your guy at the moment. If they go into Hard Knocks, though, with TJ Sanders signed on the field, no issues. Hard Knocks probably doesn't like it. I'm telling you right now, the producer of Hard Knocks really badly want James Cook to show up to camp, go, all right, peace, I'm out, after getting the accrued year and leaving,
right.
And then TJ Sanders to not be signed. They would love everything about
that. They are drooling at that potential.
But there's also a really good chance that they show up to camp.
Right.
Cook's there, no problem, we'll worry about the contract in a few months. And Sanders is signed. And the Bills get to look like the good guys.
That's the other thing, is that optics are a great thing sometimes. And, goodness forbid if you have the other owners mad at your team for getting business done. That's the thing that really kind of sticks with me at that point. It's just get business done. And maybe the Texans and Browns have dictated what business is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, the last time the Texans and Browns were involved with something that included guaranteed money at this point, the league broke.
Well, and that might be the sticking point, and we brought it up with the Pablo Torre report. And
here we are again. The Texans and the Browns are helping there be a sticking point with the league.
But so the Deshaun Watson contract, that's the fork in the road.
Right.
We've gone different paths, and the league was upset with the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And the contract is a disaster. And so now you may have some owners that are gun-shy because, the last time this happened, that happened. And also, second-round picks are not for sure hits. There's a good chance you give this fully guaranteed deal around $11 million, and the guy is bad. Any team.
Right.
The guy could be horrendous. Not just, we probably won't give him a second contract, but he was fine for us. No, like full stop, terrible.
But $11 million versus $230 million it's a player that has a terrible reputation and had missed playing football entirely for a year are two different types of guaranteed money.
It's not apples to oranges, but in an ownership group that really didn't want to do this, they'll look the same to them.
Because this then turns into, where does it end?
Bingo. And so that's the thing. You're right. It's not apples to oranges. It's over $250 million compared to $11 million. But to all of them, it will look like we have fought so hard for this, only for a few of you to go rogue. And now here we are.
Right.
And it is a fraternity of the owners. They are all very close. You know, they have the owners' meetings and what have you. I do think the dam bursts here. But then I do wonder, you know, years down the road, like, do we have now in the next negotiation, okay, you know, first through third round picks are fully, can be fully guaranteed deals or are fully guaranteed deals, but four through seven are not. Or, and I do wonder about this, do we get to a point because we get more fully guaranteed contracts, do the numbers go down?
And that's the reward.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something about it where, like, you see all these contracts that get handed out, and then you look at hockey. Comparatively, when it comes to the millions of dollars that athletes get, hockey is easily the lowest, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what do the hockey players get, though, in return for their lower numbers?
Yeah.
They get guaranteed contracts, but they also get player autonomy that none of the other leagues really have.
Mm-hmm.
Extensive. No move clauses. You need players' permission to move them anywhere. Or partial no-trade clauses, where you get a list of teams that you say, I am not going here. You have to ask my permission, but also these are the teams that, like, you have to ask me, and I'm probably saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have them on there for a reason.
Yep.
Player autonomy is another reason why the contracts are lower, because players have a chance to dictate where they can go. You mentioned when the Bills brought in Elijah Moore, that was the rare NFL player early in his career that had a little bit of autonomy to what was going on. He saw the Jets situation, didn't like it, requested a trade, got it, but it's to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the NHL, that is not the part that happens as frequently. If you're asking for a trade, it's probably because you have a no move, and you have the autonomy to dictate where to go.
And in some ways, you can kind of almost streamline where you're going to go.
You have, at minimum, if you're asking for that trade, you also might have a modified NTC.
Mm-hmm.
So you can dictate where not to go.
Yeah.
But Moore then is a free agent, waits until after the draft, finds out the rosters that have the holes in them, talks with Buffalo, signs with Buffalo. That's really great landing spot, considering the quarterback you'd be playing for. You have a player that you were in the locker room with in Amari Cooper who could probably give you a little insight. Limited, but he could give you some.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the rare instances of player autonomy. But in hockey, those numbers are lower because it's guaranteed money and it's player autonomy.
Yeah.
The only way that it's not fully guaranteed is if you have to play in the minors and it's a different cap figure.
Mm-hmm. I wonder now, because of how long we've been going with this, how high the numbers are in the NFL. It's just...
If you fully guarantee contracts... Man. Players might back down on the total value of them.
Mm-hmm.
What doesn't help, though, is the groundbreaker, which is the Watson contract. Not only did you give him the most money at the time, you gave him the most guaranteed money in a contract, period.
Yeah.
And it still was one of the highest contracts in its totality when you handed it to him.
Yeah.
And when you handed it to him, it was seen as the, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Almost. Unanimously.
In the second round, why am I fully guaranteeing these contracts? They've never played a pro down in their lives. Some of them might even wash out within 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I paying all of that $11 million?
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Do you want to have a little bit of fun here, though? We mentioned the rookies and everything that's going on there.
Yes.
Do, though, want to talk about some of the rookies we're genuinely excited to watch, not on the Bills. We haven't really gotten to spend a ton of time just talking some of the rookies from this draft post the draft.
Right.
And for me as well, with rookies reporting, I start to get the vibe now that football is back. I am somebody, and this is mainly because I'm a college football guy as well. The football is back for me when I have that moment during the Hall of Fame game, usually around the first quarter, yes, where I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. I was very excited. This is terrible. I'm out. It's a yearly tradition for
that
me.
That is a yearly tradition. But that's the thing is that, like, how can you not be a romantic about the Hall of Fame game?
Well, yeah, you get romantic about it because you'll turn it on. You're like, football's back, baby. We're in
scores
Canton, Ohio.
Are being,
yeah.
The score's being taken. It is a game where there are stats recorded, everything like that. And then you realize it's terrible.
Yeah, both teams have a drive, and you're like, oh, never mind.
Because
I'll see in a few weeks.
You're not seeing even any starters play a portion of any snaps in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look around the league about the rookies that, you know, you're most excited to see.
I will tell you, for me, it's one guy that I never wanted the Bills to go get him, because I'm not big with the whole running back in the first round, but just watching him in college last year, and then I like the team he went to in Vegas, it's Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
The year he put on last year at Boise State, 2,600 yards rushing, 29 touchdowns, good for 7.0 average yards per carry. Just, he was unbelievable at Boise. And then you put him in Vegas. Geno Smith, I think, is a fun quarterback who'll have a pretty good year. Brock Bowers might be the best tight end in football already. Definitely top three in terms of just a receiving tight end. I think that offense could be really fun. Not special, but really fun. But I think Jeanty has the potential to be special. I haven't felt this way about a running back prospect. Different, but I haven't felt this way about a running back prospect since Saquon Barkley. Jeanty just kind of feels like a guy you sort of can get a little romantic about the running back position again and maybe make some foolish moves because you're like, it's Ashton Jeanty, though. Like, he does all of this for us. Like, we're ready to go. He's a little undersized, but maybe that might be better for him in terms of just he's a guy that couldn't really get tackled, and he was great throughout college, not just last year. Just last year, again, he almost had a Heisman-winning season at Boise. I cannot wait to see his first snaps. He's somebody, like, yeah, I will be looking forward to in the preseason. There's other guys as well, but his is going to be appointment television. Like, I want to see Jeanty's first carries with the Raiders.
I've got your early round answer and your mid round answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first round, Travis Hunter. I want to see what the impacts are with him and how Jacksonville's going to deploy him. The price that they paid for him was pretty. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty penny. It was vast. I want to see what they do with him. In my mid-round, I want to see what Kylan Williams does with New England.
Out of Washington
State, his stock really came along as you and I were getting ready to talk about the draft. We were possibly dreaming of the idea of, like, maybe you can land Kylan Williams in the third or fourth round. No, New England takes him early, pick 69.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a nice pick. So how does Williams look with this locker room, though? You have a pair of receivers that they took last year with Polk and Baker. But those guys, you're now seeing a new threat. Not just veteran players. Mm-hmm. Not like a Mac Hollins you got to compete with to beat out for that, too. You're trying to beat out Kyle Williams from stealing snaps from you, too.
Yeah.
And fighting to make a roster. Look at Polk. Do you wash out within 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I giving guaranteed money? Like, there's different angles about that I'm very interested in. Also, sometimes I guess I do like my sense of dread. I watch the Buffalo Sabres. So, you know, I've got a little comfort blanket known as my sports dread. If the Patriots grab a good wide receiver in the third round on a player that you really wanted, but they took way too quickly in round three for that to even be a possibility, hey, there's my sports dread. I get to curl up in my comfortable blanket.
Right, and check it out. I'll also say, and I do want to just say this more as something to keep an eye on for the preseason, Browns backup quarterback battle? How do Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders look? I was listening to the Volume
that's
podcast
because you,
earlier, and Colin Cowherd and
that's
John
your
Middlecoff,
comfort blanket right
they
there.
They even said it too. They're like, I really hope Shedeur Sanders has a good camp so that there's a storyline to talk about there. I'm kind of right there with them.
So
right
my,
there with
my
them.
Comfort blanket is dread. Yours is drama.
Absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Celebrate 716 Day with Jeremy White at the BFLO Store's flagship location in Transitown Plaza, Williamsville, on Wednesday, July 16th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Spend $77.16 in store or online and score a free Go Bills cap While supplies last, meet Bills and Bandits players, catch live music, exclusive giveaways, and shop the brand new tailgate collection. Don't miss it. Full details at bfloshop.com. The BFLO store, official realtor of the Buffalo Bills. We do have more for MLB All-Star Week. Last night was the Home Run Derby. Tonight is the actual All-Star game. That'll start at 8 p.m. I'm going to be honest with you, Derek. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch much of the Home Run Derby. I caught some highlights. Right. I won't even do that for this. It's just, All-Star games I don't like All-Star games, yeah.
But also, the MLB is the one All-Star game where players will probably have the same requisite amount of effort that you could put into it. There will be a couple of good plays in there. There'll be, like, obviously they're not going to be like haul into every ball, but outside of like your aggressive dives for a catch.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, you're right.
You're getting mostly the same product. And that's why the MLB All-Star game will survive forever, quite frankly.
Just don't try to do that ridiculous thing where
they don't need gimmicks.
The winning league gets home field advantage.
And that's the thing.
Oh.
You are the last functioning All-Star game. You don't need gimmicks anymore.
Yeah, you don't. And you're right. You're the last functioning one. Like, nothing has to change because you're right. It's not the super physical sport. So it's like, okay, we can... It can look for the most part the same. For the most part, you're right. Like, you're not going to get the diving plays.
You're not
like
running
that.
It out all the way maximum effort to first if you ground one to short.
Mm-hmm.
You're not running it all the way out. Like, let's be real about that. As a team, I probably wouldn't want you to.
Right.
But old habits do die hard, so you're probably going to have some amount of effort put into it.
Mm-hmm.
But you might get your web gems. You might still get a guy who's feeling saucy enough to go up the wall to rob a home run.
Wasn't that like Adrian Peterson's whole thing in the Pro Bowl? Mm-hmm. It's like he showed up his rookie year and everyone's like, dude, this is a scrimmage.
Yeah, like, bro, calm down. But like, there's probably enough plays in baseball where if a player's feeling saucy enough, he'll try to put a show on for the fans in the All-Star game.
Show off a little bit.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be there for every play. It's not physically daunting on every player for every play. Mm-hmm. And you have enough pitchers on staff that you could throw at least capable enough balls, get them a nice little warm-up, and then they're done for the day.
I think all the starters only go an inning.
Exactly. So you don't have – you get enough pitchers to where – injury is not as big of a concern, and if it happens, it's a fluke. It was probably going to happen anyway if you're only pitching one inning and you got hurt.
Yeah, right.
The only thing you have to look out for is the dangerous line drive or grounder to the pitcher. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's it.
That's really it. I won't be checking it out. Again, I'm not a big All-Star game guy.
I might look at it just for the quality of competition to be like, I miss this in all my other games.
No, right. One big miss, though, by Major League Baseball. Games don't start again until Friday. That is a miss.
No, it's a break.
I think we could have jumped back on Thursday.
It's called an all-star break, not an all-star siesta sit-down happy hour.
I think we could have gotten back to Thursday. Friday's a little tough. That's going to do it for us today. Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average.
and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.